Shona Project Podcast. I'm Allison Curtis, and with me, as always, my co-host is Tammy Darcy.
Hello. We're getting the hang of this, Allison, aren't we?
I think we are. Like, I feel like we're both, like, feel like we're at top of the class and, like, gold stars. We're like, oh my God, we have so many episodes recorded. We're so brilliant. We're working ahead. But we're really enjoying it. And we're, like, Tammy, the feedback has been so wonderful. You've been getting it through your own social media channels. I've been getting it on Instagram. And it, to be honest and really blunt about it, it's been quite emotional reading the feedback about it as well.
Yeah, so I'm going to get you right in the feels here now. I hope you're ready for this.
Okay.
I just got a message this morning from one of our ambassadors. And she sent me this gorgeous message, so I'm going to read it out to you. Hi, Tammy. I've just wanted to send you a text after listening to your podcast episode on bullying. I told my mom about the podcast and she listened to it the other day. And she told me I should listen to it as I've been struggling for quite a while with friendships, and I was in for a year now and I only had recently opened up about it. I found it very hard to do so, and my mom always said it was something more than them being bad friends. Listening to the podcast, I found it so emotional, and hearing how much I related to a lot of it, it actually made me cry. And I just want to say a big thank you, because it was so nice hearing somebody explain how girls can be and how they bully without leaving evidence, and you can feel silly talking about it, and Ali's story really stood out to me, so thanks again. Heart.
Oh my God. That's incredible. And that echoes a lot of comments that we've been getting. I did feel when we decided to do an episode on bullying that we would sadly get a huge reaction, because it affects so many different people. And I just want to say thank you to Ali as well. I thought she really got her story across so well. And she's a great ambassador for someone who's come out the other side. And you told your story brilliantly as well. And I know it's resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like, that was the plan, you know, and I think when you're honest, which we have been, we both have been, and other people have been with us, you know, it's not just the expert opinions, you know, it's like lived experience for so many people. So I hope we're doing something right, and I hope it definitely helps some people going on.
Oh, it has. I really feel it has. So you were honest about bullying. This topic in this episode is something that, as a child, I feel thankful that I had a nice friend group, and it seemed to be consistent, and a lot of the friendships lasted. In fact, we have three or four that we met when we were 4 years old, and we still have friends, and we're far from four now. But I struggled with it with my daughter more so, and it was not that she had any problems, but more that I was like, Tammy, it's so embarrassing to admit this, but I remember, like, when she started school in junior and senior infants, and like finding out when people's birthdays were, and I was like, oh, she didn't get an invite to that one, or she didn't get an invite. And just, it was pathetic in a way, because they're so young, they're so little, and their little groups have moved around a little bit. But I would get so worked up about it if she wasn't invited to a birthday party. And it was just silly, because she wasn't. And it was like a reflection on, I guess, maybe I was like, you know, am I liked? Is she liked? All this kind of stuff. And that was where it started for me. And then throughout her secondary or primary school situation, I've been really aware of how popular she might may or may not be, and stressing needlessly, because she has handled herself impeccably well with friendships. And thankfully, she hasn't had serious things to overcome. And she's been so great. And I've wasted my energy worrying about this.
Oh, look, it totally makes sense, though. Like, you just think she's the most special, beautiful human on earth. And you just, you know, if everybody, it's not that they don't think that, it's just that, you know, they've got their own group of friends, or they've got like people who just happen to be closer in their circle. And I think it does, it kind of hurts when you're like, why isn't she the most important person in your life? She's the most important person in my life.
And she was invited to so many things. And my husband would be like, you're only focusing on the ones. So as a child, my sister and I, she's the exact same age as me, being a twin, we shared a peer group. And then growing up, we had maybe alliances that were a bit stronger within that peer group, and it was very consistent. And then a group of us went from primary school into secondary school. And I think I've told you this before, but there was 11 girls, and within that 11, there were stronger relationships. But that core 11 stayed solid for secondary school until, say, the final 2 years when we started to get boyfriends and different things like that. And we were really good to each other. We'd meet every lunch. We had a little corner in the basement. We'd go down no matter what was happening in our lives. And that's where we had our lunch for the first few years, and just chatted, and then went our separate ways for the afternoon classes. And yeah, there was, you know, people were irritated by people and there was like a little bit of bitching and this and that, but it stayed pretty solid and it was a core net. And as we got older, we got more people into the group, and I have really fond memories of my friends, and I'm still friends with a lot of them, actually.
That's so lovely. I'm always really jealous of people like you. I think for me, it's very different. And like, I would say that my bullying experience in school, which was by a friend, somebody who I thought I was a friend, really have impacted how I am around friendships ever since. So one of the things that I've noticed is I'm not very good around groups of women. It kind of triggers something. It makes me anxious. Okay. Considering the work I do, this is crazy. I'm much better one-on-one, and I have lots of friends. Like, I have so many friends, of course I do, but, and I'm very lucky, and they're really good, deep, honest friendships, but they're all one-on-one friendships in various different ways.
Okay.
So, like, if you threw me a surprise party, which, you know, you're welcome to do anytime, but if you threw me a surprise party, you'd find that, like, all my friends didn't really know each other.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's, and I have to say I have two, when I moved out, when I was younger, I lived with two guys, called Dave and Harry, and we worked together. We lived together. Dave and Harry are still like my best friends in the entire world. These two lads, like, we've grown up together. We've known each other for over 20 years. We all have families now, and we all are married and have been through such a huge amount together. But I suppose friendship looks different for everybody. And I think what I'd like to talk about today is how we can instill healthy friendships. Like, I always talk to the girls in workshops and say, has anyone ever taught you how to break up a friendship?
Tammy, that is exactly it. Because certainly, again, going back to being of a certain generation, we as women were just, it goes with everything in our lives, basically told to just kind of don't make anybody uncomfortable. You know, don't do anything. Don't stand up for yourself, really, in many ways. And we weren't directly told not to stand up for ourselves, but by being amenable to lots of different things and withstanding lots of different behaviors, we were actually indirectly told, you know, and the breakup of a friend is horrific, but we need the skill set and help our daughters with that skill set in order to be able to do it. So they're happy and healthy on the other side of it, and to spot those friendships that are no longer serving them.
Yeah. Like, to me, it's weird, and we're going to bring Eva on, and I'm going to mention this to her, but like, we don't see friendship breakups in the media. You know, there's no like templates or models for it. And for me, I think it's probably harder than breaking up a romantic relationship in lots of ways, because your girls are your girls. You know, like, we live in a society where boyfriends will come and go for so many years, or girlfriends of your life, but your girls are your girls. And when it doesn't work out, you feel like you've failed. It's heartbreaking, but you're not like really given the tools to deal with that. So so I think, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about how to be a friend, what friendship means,
the importance of friendship and good friendships, and how to sustain them, and how to be open and honest with them, and the importance of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And how to navigate it when they just don't work out, especially for us parents who probably feel it and get defensive and want to fix everything, which we know, we've spoken about this before. So
excellent.
Let's get Eva on.
So as promised, Aoife Lee is joining us on the Shona Project podcast. Aoife, how are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm really good. Great. Safe to say we have got through the first number of weeks of school, and we're slowly but surely getting back into the swing post-Christmas. So,
definitely. So Aoife, a lot of people do know who you are and what you do, but just for anyone listening to the podcast who aren't familiar, will you let us know a bit about yourself?
Yeah. Well, my name's Aoife. I'm a parent coach, a mum of three. My business is parent support. So a lot of my work is predominantly actually supporting working families. So I do a lot of corporate wellness, both with different talks and one-to-one sessions. And I like to dip my toes in a little bit of media, radio and TV as well, which I love. But I have been supporting families for about 22 years now, primarily with the health service executive, working in early intervention and children and care. And for the last 10 years, I have been parent support. And it's really, really enjoyed. I've been a mom myself. I have a 6, 12, 15-year-old You know, I recognize and understand and completely appreciate how tough parenting can be. So that's kind of where it helps me support families as well, having that understanding and that kind of that empathy, I suppose.
Amazing. So Tammy and I were just talking before you joined us about friendships and our own experiences as kids having friend groups and then what we project onto our own children with their own friends. And I know that, you know, we're talking about teenage girls in this podcast, but as parents, we should obviously be talking about the importance of friendships and what makes a good friend and how to spot maybe a not such a good friend earlier on. So as we approach the teenage years and girls' friendships in particular are complex, what would be some of your advice for parents around conversations we should have about friendships? Like, we should be talking about them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, communication as our children enter into those preteen and teenage years is really paramount, because we find that they're gravitating more towards their friends and they're not maybe sharing as much with us. So while there is that independence that they are seeking out, it's also really helpful to acknowledge and say, you know, recognizing those moments where we can have conversations with them, friendships being one of them. And as a parent, you know, looking on even for having a preteen daughter, friendships do play a huge part in their adolescent years, and especially for young girls, because it provides a sense of identity and a sense of belonging. And it's really key in, you know, them in their social aspects of their life and their school life. So as soon as we can start having the conversations, you know, that they can be those relearning moments for particularly for our teenage girls.
Okay.
Aoife, I with the girls I meet, I find that in schools, so many of them feel like they're clinging to friendships, you know, like they're afraid that if they act differently or if they speak out of touch or if they, you know, show any individuality or like don't dress the same or have different interests, that those friendships will fall apart. So they feel like quite fragile. Is that the case?
Absolutely. I mean, boys and girls, they want to fit in. And it's this friendship group that they you're hearing constantly referred to. That fear of missing out, wanting to be part of the conversation, not wanting to be different. Of course, you admire young people that do embrace being different than everybody else, but there's such conformity in these early years that that's where their values seem to lie. And that being said, it can sometimes forfeit what truly friendships mean and what's the basis of friendships. And they can lose that, the thoughts of how important, you know, caring for one another and respecting one another and, you know, what being a true friend is. And that's where peer pressure comes in. And that's often also where isolation can come in. And so often for our teenage girls, they kind of will do what they have to do to be part of that kind of core group. And you'll find that there will be some girls that are stronger than others in personality, and they can tend to influence others in the group so much so that, you know, they kind of go with the majority, and that's often where some girls can be left behind and really are not too sure what to do. And a lot of it is about confidence and self-esteem, and you know, they don't want to put a foot wrong for fear of attention going on to them. So they do what they have to do to comply and go with the core group.
It is tough. And Aoife, I always think about this too, that, and this is something that, you know, I talked about on my own program and Tammy and I've talked about as well, is the idea of when they're young, we're teaching our kids to be upstanders. And I just feel like if there were more and more that were, you know, we had conversations or it was a class, like, you know, the Shona Project does going into schools to kind of teach those maybe vocal kids to use, I don't want to use the word power, but in a better way, but also as a collective to kind of not put up with certain behaviors. Like, how can we collectively, I know it's a huge thing, like moving this huge boulder up a mountain to get everybody on board and on the same page for this. But even as parents, what kind of conversations can we have with our kids to kind of go, if you did this, the result would be this?
Yeah. And it does start with us, because we do see situations evolve. We're hearing our kids come home and hearing conversations about, she said this. And obviously you've got social media, which is a whole other part of this, and it again stands to be such an influence. But it does start with the conversations we have, like I mentioned, picking those moments and creating that narrative at home about respect, about what's, you know, creating boundaries about what's okay and what's not okay, how we speak to one another. And that's how we, you know, how we speak to our own kids as well. What our kids hear, the adults, how they speak into one another at home as well. Also, it's important, I think, to teach our kids about the understanding of other people's scenarios and situations and environments at home. Because if you've got someone that, you know, one particular strong personality within a peer group, and they're really trying to take ownership and control and trying to influence others, and this is a conversation that's been have at home, and maybe your daughter's coming home saying, this person's been really strong and, you know, is really telling everybody what to do and what she thinks, and I'm really struggling with that. Being able to encourage that conversation and actually ask the question, what do you think might be going on for that person? You're not taking sides, but it's just to try and elevate more of an open view of, you know, yes, this is what you're seeing, but what else might be going on? Because it's a great learning for as teenagers going into young women and young men to see that it's not just that kind of egocentric way, because for our teenagers, the world revolves around them for the most part. And it's kind of to gain that understanding as well.
And just to build on that then, Aoife, one of the things I used to struggle with was they would have arguments, you know, and I would always hear Freya's side of the argument because somebody had said something or done something. And sometimes even good friends go through periods of like leaving each other out and excluding each other. Mm. And I suppose like just getting sick of each other maybe from time to time, or periods where they don't gel as well as they used to. Where is the line between forgiving that? Because I've seen her come back to those friends and then being really good friends, even though I'm like, I'll never trust them again, you know, versus where they've pushed you too far or they have really disrespected the friendship. And you feel that for your daughter, maybe you need to let that person go from your life. Maybe they're not a good person to have around.
Yeah. It's, you know, friendships will change and evolve, particularly for teenage girls where some may mature more than others and further on than others, socially, emotionally. And from that perspective, some friendships will be fickle. But when we talk about friendships where they've been really quite solid, again, it's recognizing that friendships will come and go and will go in waves. And it kind of comes back to asking the question, what's important to you in a friendship? What is it that you feel is not okay here? So that it's trying to make some logic to maybe why this is happening. And after that, then it's kind of often at times, and again, in the safety of their own kind of nest at home, you know, being with the adult, rehearse potential small conversations or one-liners as to what maybe how they could respond or how they could approach that friend. That can be a bit daunting for any of us, as we know.
That's an amazing idea, though, Aoife. I wouldn't have thought of that. That's amazing.
Yeah, because it's kind of not arming them, but it's giving them a tool so they don't feel completely at a loss. Because when we're stressed or when we're anxious in a situation, that's where the survival mechanisms come in and we might shut down, and that's where we might revert into ourselves. For others, they'll go all out and they'll get argumentative and, you know, full on name calling. But it comes back to, well, what's actually really important to me? What do I feel about it? And maybe how can we rehearse or have a few one-liners to give in that moment? And also, it's acknowledging and recognizing that it's okay to feel a little bit out of your comfort zone, because that means you're being challenged and that means you're learning something new, however small or big that is. So it's reassuring that, look, we all fall out. We've all fallen out with people. And it'll be over time that you see whether this friendship is strong enough to actually be nurtured back into play, and whether that is in 6 months down the line.
I really like that. Yeah, I really like that it's not about this is a bad person, they're a bad influence on me, they don't deserve to be in my circle, and it's either cut or keep them in, you know, where it's like you're culling all the time. But reframing it that it's not about that, it's about, can I have a conversation with this person about this, and can we reach a resolution which is non-judgmental? Because at the end of the day, they're all just like young people who are learning, and they might say things that are mean from time to time that are not a reflection of who they are as people, and they might regret it. And you know, if you attack them with kind of like, you've done this to me, so what I'm getting from you, which I wish somebody, and I always say this in this podcast, I wish somebody had told me this, is just to equip them to have a conversation and stand up for themselves in a non-judgmental way, and then it feels less dog-eat-dog.
Do you know, Tammy, if I can interrupt there, I have to say there was a time when Joan, 2 years ago, so she's 12, so she was only 10 then, where she had a situation where there was a group of three and she felt a bit iced out. And I, this is bad to admit, but I was spying. I was listening in on the conversation and I couldn't get over, and I'm not here to brag about her, but I couldn't get over. So they came back, the one friend that came back here, and they were in her room, and she was like, you know, this is Joan saying, this is how I'm feeling. Are you noticing anything? Have you picked up on anything? What's your feelings on this? And what's your take on this? And I was like, do you guys want some popcorn? Like, I was just like, I was so taken aback. And then that's when I was like, wow. I was impressed with her, because that's something, you know, we just touched on, but yeah. I feel certainly my generation of women, when we were children, we were told not to be direct. Indirectly, we were told not to be direct. Yeah. And this whole idea of, and it's not specifically for this podcast now, but this whole idea that the younger generations are setting up their own boundaries for themselves. We're like, like, that's a bit rude, but it isn't. And like, so that's where I think with friendships as well, is, as you say, setting those boundaries.
Yeah. And like, at the end of the day, the conversations that are being having in each home will be very different. And it'll also depend on the attitude of the parents. But even Alison, you saying, you know, you had that proud moment of, wow, she is, sometimes we can underestimate how strong our young women can be. And if we are there to kind of just back them up, and sometimes it is about problem solving a bit, and, you know, not necessarily picking apart the conversations, but just examining kind of, look, what would you have said differently in that situation? Or, wow, you know what? And acknowledge that. And that's something you might have been able to bring up in a further conversation. And she might go, I did say that. And I, that's brilliant, you know.
That's amazing.
But even positive reinforcement as well.
Exactly. And can I ask you as well, like, it hurts, and it hurts badly when friendships fall apart. And you, as parents, we see it when it happens to our children. But there are learning moments from that as well, isn't it, that can be, you know, put into action later on in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we experienced it ourselves again, my 12-year-old, only a number of years ago, where the friend moved on, and she was just absolutely gutted. So what we did was we just gave her that time and space to kind of grieve in a way, because I think even as adults, we can grieve adult friendships too. And it's given our children that space. And there's probably an element of acceptance, and then a refocus to the friends that you love and are meaningful in your life, the friends that make you laugh, that will be there, have your back. And I think that's the focus, while also acknowledging, you know, that was tough. And just, again, being there and available. And I don't know about you guys, but certainly since my kids got older, I'm starting to really see the moments where they are a little bit more vulnerable and they do want to talk to us. And particularly for our teenagers, we want them to keep communication open, because there'll be a day that you won't know a thing. And you just want to keep that connection there.
And can I just get back to that thing of friendships ending? Because, you know, we do tell our girls and our boys, you know, focus on the people that do make you feel good. But I don't think in the moment that helps, because if you've been part of a group of about four or five, say, and the other four are no longer accepting you, that has to be one of the hardest things that you'll ever go through in your life, you know, ever, because it's real rejection from people that you've invested your time and energy into. And you always are going to feel, no matter what age you are, that it is a reflection on you. And me and Alison were just talking before you came on there about how we never discuss this with our girls. Like, there is so much information out there, articles, music, movies about romantic breakups. And it almost like gives you permission. Okay, I've seen this on TV. I've just been broken up with. I'm going to go and eat ice cream. I'm going to cry. I'm going to do all of this kind of stuff. I'm going to get my girls around. And yeah. I know the process. But there's no conversations about how to break up a friendship. And with so many girls, they've been good friends, and definitely happened in my case, since they were like 4 or 5. But as they mature, they become different people. It just doesn't work. And it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with either of them. It just doesn't work. And, you know, I love that saying, people are in your life for a reason, a season or a lesson. Like, maybe they were there for the right reasons at the right time. And now it doesn't work anymore. So I just want to kind of look into that a little bit more, because it's not bullying per se, but it is that time where you realize that friendship doesn't work anymore. And it's like one thing when it's one friend and another friend, but when it's a group of friends that are just rejecting you, can you talk to give us some advice on that?
And like that, the isolation and the rejection is can have such an impact on their whole kind of sense of being and self-esteem. And it is where it is about opening up that conversation again. And the advice I would give for anyone that is experiencing a moment where or a period going through a period of time where there is that isolation, it's questioning, it's talking about the dynamics within that group and actually what it is, you know, the familiarities that you have with that group and what that group brought, but at the same time, you know, what's happening right now that's creating that isolation? Is there drama? Is there jealousy? Is there, talking behind each other's backs? And that's where that's where the toxic element can come into it. I think it's a lot to do with the conversation we have around, talking to our daughter about that it's not a personal thing. And it's not going to be a one-off chat. It's going to be over a period of time. And I don't know, even Tammy, how you have found whether there was any one particular thing. I know for my daughter, it was conversations over time. And specifically what you said there was around giving our kids the opportunity to kind of look at what they're actually now getting out of the friendships. And for the most part, they were leaving those periods of time when they're with their friends actually unhappy. Mm-hmm. And was that what they wanted? So that rejection can be extremely difficult, but I think it's over time that kind of heals as such.
That's great. I suppose just on a positive, it's like, you know, we as adults know how to, you know, maintain and look after friendships largely. And I suppose the one thing I want Joan to know is that if a friendship does fail, that it's not entirely, like, it's not something to consider a failure, if that makes sense. I shouldn't have called it a failure. And that was something that's the same with romantic relationships. I know that I struggled with that in my 20s, that if something ended, I considered it a failure, but it's reframing that for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And like that, you've got some girls where they've had friendships right the way from preschool, primary, right the up to secondary school and young adulthood, and that if something happens now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't come back to it. But it's really important to acknowledge that everyone changes in their own way and that we're not always going to have that connection necessarily. But that, surprisingly, sometimes we kind of come round 180 and we meet these people at a different stage in our life and you can find that kind of reconnection again. But it is difficult during those teenage years where we feel quite vulnerable. We do question like that our friendships and the dynamics between friends. But certainly, you know, Tammy, as you mentioned earlier, dealing with isolation and rejection can be extremely difficult. And it's nurturing our children's and our teenagers' self-esteem in other aspects of their life as well, particularly when they're feeling that vulnerability.
That's amazing advice.
So Aoife, this is all really, really helpful, but actually I think there's a really basic question that we haven't addressed. And when it comes to talking to our girls about friends, what is a friendship? How do we define friendship, like real friendship, to our girls?
I think, you know, when it comes to friendships, it's looking at long-lasting friendship is often down to having the same values, the same priorities, wanting to share and make time in that friendship. People that you are going to laugh with, that you're prepared to listen, you know, learning about that important skill of empathy, particularly during the teenage years. And someone that's going to be there for you when you are maybe going through a tough time, or maybe someone that is prepared to give you that space. If they are okay to kind of back off, if they feel like, you know what, I need a bit of time right now. And it's just showing that kind of respect and loyalty to one another. I think they're great foundations to a good friendship. I tell you what, if that's where, as an adult female, that's something that I would gain and I value out of my friendships as well. So it's certainly something for my own daughter I'd like to thrive and you know, nurture for her too.
I feel a very basic question to ask is, do you feel like you could be yourself around this person, or do you feel like you're adapting or changing your views or your personality to fit in? And that's quite a very clear line. Maybe ask them to sit with that for a little while.
I think it's really important to be yourself, because if you start changing, or you start not being yourself, or maybe your behaviors are changing around this person, I would say that's a red flag to, you know what, they're not for me. Or like that for any adults that are listening in and they're kind of going through the motions with their daughter at the moment. It's one thing to consider is, are you being yourself? And if not, that's something then to really consider.
Yeah.
Aoife, will you give out your points of contact for people?
My website is parentsupport.ie. I have lots of resources on there. I'm on Instagram at parentsupport, and I'm on LinkedIn at Aoife Lee.
Aoife Lee, thank you so much for joining us on the Shona Project podcast. Thank you.
Thanks Aoife. Girls.
Well, that was really informative and amazing, as always. Great advice. And friendships are, you know, a stumbling point for a lot of parents. They do worry about them. And you've just had a great idea, Tammy.
Yes, I have one of my great brainwaves. So we put a call out for this episode specifically to some of our ambassadors to ask them if they'd like to come on and give like their perspective on friendships. And to say they stood up to the plate was, you know, an understatement. We've so many who have said, I'd be happy to talk to you, I'd be happy to share. So what we thought we'd do is we might throw in a few bonus episodes, Alison. What do you think? Where every week
Absolutely. We
bring in one of our ambassadors to give their own perspective on something that we've spoken to. So later on, I'm going to be chatting to two of our ambassadors specifically on friendships. And I don't know what day it'll come out, but it will come out. So just everybody keep an eye out for the bonus episodes. I think they're going to be gorgeous. And I think it's important that we hear from the girls themselves and get their perspectives.
Absolutely. And as always, thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast on Go Loud or wherever you get your podcast. And we have an email if you'd like to get in touch with us as well,
which is podcast@shona.ie.
Until next time.
Bye.